Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
According to Wikipedia, mindfulness is, quote, the cognitive skill usually developed through meditation of sustaining meta-awareness of the contents of one's own mind in the present moment. Mindfulness derives from Anyway, that's a significant element of Hindu and Buddhist traditions, and it's based on Zen and Tibetan meditation techniques, unquote. No problem here, right? This is being pushed in many schools, but I thought it was illegal to have religion in school. Christians are told that all the time, but I guess it's all right to have the quote-unquote right religion in schools. It just can't be Christianity, so the left says. But just how dangerous is the push to teach mindfulness? My guest today is Linda Harvey. Linda is the president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Diane.
So, you know, mindfulness just seems to have popped up. That word just seems to have popped up recently, for me anyway. You know, we're hearing a lot about a mental health crisis among the nation's children and youth. In fact, the National Institutes of Health estimate 1 in 5 children struggle with anxiety. And it goes on to say, in the short term, chronic anxiety can result in a variety of behavioral problems and reduce a child's ability to focus. And long-term anxiety can have lifelong impacts on a developing child and potentially lead to lasting mood disorders. And in fact, last February, the U.S. Department of Education announced awards of more than $180 million across 170 grantees in over 30 states to increase access to school-based mental health services. And that's all from the National Institutes of Health. And, you know, we definitely trust them nowadays overwhelmingly. So, you know, they're saying this, and we hear this a lot in Pennsylvania, especially Democrat politicians are saying there's a mental health crisis among our children. A lot of it they point towards COVID as being the issue. Is there a mental health crisis among kids? And if so, do you think it's COVID's fault?
Well, there is a mental health crisis among our kids. The suicide rate is climbing, rates of anxiety and depression. I think it came out through COVID and was made worse because some kids who already have this tendency when they were isolated, I think it just made it worse.
Come to the surface.
But
okay.
This is not the answer. The answer is not to do Eastern Buddhist-based meditation and even social emotional learning. Mindfulness is part of a social emotional learning framework. Okay. And it's not often in the exact curriculum as and required. It's usually an add-on, but almost all the big vendors of social emotional learning have a mindfulness unit. And as you mentioned, this sure sounds like religion to me. Mm-hmm. Now, your legislature is going to require 15 minutes a day, if they can get that through the legislature, of mindfulness in schools. So that's going to be a whole new funding stream, and there'll be grants, and because it's required, they'll have to put money behind it and all that. There's lots of money in mental health these days, and we need to get all of this out of our schools.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Yeah, actually, there was a Philadelphia Democrat who introduced that HB 2006, which requires the 15 minutes of mindfulness each day in the classroom. And I didn't look to see which 30 states got that money from the U.S. Department of Education, but it could well be Pennsylvania is one of those 30 states. I wouldn't be surprised. I would guess the majority of states that got this money were ones with Democrat governors. Of course, we unfortunately have one of those. So there is a crisis, and there is no doubt about that. There is a crisis among our children and young people. Personally, I think a lot of it came to the surface during COVID because of the isolation. But these kids are under such assault. I mean, in the classroom, they're under assault as far as, you know, questioning their sex. You know, a boy may be a girl and blah, blah, blah. The kids are being told this. plus the whole homosexual, you know, agenda with the gay straight alliance clubs and such diversity clubs. And if you're white, you're a racist and you know, have no control over that, but you know, all this kind of stuff. And that impacts our kids. I think that is definitely playing a role in the stats when we're looking at, you know, 1 in 5 children struggle with anxiety, plus broken homes. There's so much that is negatively impacting our kids. But as you're saying, this is not the way to do it. And when is someone going to speak up and say, hey, this is a religion and it should not be allowed? If Christianity can't be allowed, then why is Buddhism and Hinduism being allowed through mindfulness?
Well, that's the issue. And it turns out that this has been around for about 20 years. And over the last 15 or so, both mindfulness lessons and yoga, which is sort of related, depends on how it's taught, have shown up as programs in schools. Well, there's been a lot of pushback in a lot of communities by parents.
Good.
In Georgia, in Ohio, we had our former Congressman Tim Ryan from the Youngstown area was a very big practitioner of meditation. So he wrote a book on mindfulness, and he got funding for the schools in Northeast Ohio. Well, he got some pushback from a lot of the parents up there. And then in North Central Ohio, Mansfield and that area, there was this is like 4 or 5 years ago, a big thing with yoga and mindfulness. And 100 and some pastors signed a letter and sent it to the school officials and the state government saying, we object to this and we want this out of our schools. And it's not really, there's almost none of it anymore. So when the pastors stand up, you get a reaction. There's been lawsuits all over the country. In Chicago, a program called Quiet Time, which was from the David Lynch Foundation, a girl sued and she got $150,000 from the school in a settlement because it violated her Christian faith, because they were bowing to little Hindu gods.
They actually were having to bow to Hindu gods. Is that what you said?
Yes, as part of their mindfulness meditation. And they don't tell you that it can get to that kind of level most of the time. And some of the time it doesn't get to that kind of level.
Right.
The problem is you have children closing their eyes, emptying their minds, calming down, breathing. I mean, it's a field day for spiritual deception.
And so many people don't realize that. I mean, I've read Frank Peretti's books. I don't know if you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's exactly what, especially some of his books, that's exactly what he's describing. You know, emptying your mind and opening them up, your mind up to spiritual forces. And too many people don't realize there is that realm, and they deny it, but it's very, very real. And they need to realize this. But that was encouraging that pastors actually stood up and said, not in my school district. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. And then, you know, other parents have been standing up in other places and saying, this does resemble a religion, or, you know, kids come home and complain. So, and then, of course, the social emotional learning people have been pushing this for 30 years. It's behind the scenes. Their roots of the social emotional learning movement came out of Buddhist meditation, spirituality from the Fetzer Institute, which is up in Michigan. And they believe that this is a component of going all the way down the path of all the social emotional learning, all the woke agendas. Well, this is an element of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and racial equity, having kids meditate. I mean, can you believe it? But that's where what they're doing is they're capping the whole, you indoctrinate children factually with misinformation. It's not on the outside. And then you bring in occult spirituality and that seals the deal. That's how I see it happening. That's something that's a high risk, and parents need to step up and say no to all the social emotional learning stuff, but mindfulness, no. We're not going there.
The trouble with social emotional learning is that it's integrated into everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every subject. So it's difficult. I mean, you know, the solution is pull your kids out of public school. That's the overall solution. But I know some parents cannot do that or don't think they can do that. And their kids are unfortunately sent into a spiritual battlefield every time they get on that little yellow school bus or big yellow school bus. And the kids are indoctrinated with things and confronted with things that parents don't realize unless their child does open up and tell their mom and dad what's going on in schools. It's very, very concerning. And, you know, to me, it is teaching kids not only, you know, to empty your mind and think about other things. Of course, they're saying to relieve anxiety, is to relieve stress and all this, you know, all this kind of thing. But to me, it opens them up to not only the spiritual attacks from demons, but it also makes them more pliable, I guess is the word I want to use, pliable to accept the indoctrination that they're going to be getting. But, you know, it's, again, troubling. You know, the proponents are saying, quote, research shows that mindfulness skills improve memory, organizational skills, reading and math scores, all while giving kids the tools they need to handle toxic stress, unquote. None of this has been reflected in any of the national test scores, because kids are failing miserably here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. when it comes to the national test scores, when it comes to reading and arithmetic. So, right. You know, again, nice words, but they aren't true. And that same Democrat, the same Philadelphia Democrat who introduced HB 2006, which requires schools to provide mindfulness instruction K through 12, she also introduced HB 2005, which requires daily mental health check-ins. As the kids come to school, every single day they have to have a check-in. You know, they ask certain questions, and the teacher or whoever's asking the question has to ascertain or determine from the answers just how stressed out the kid is, I guess. But what kind, to me, putting kids through that five times a week, that's going to cause kids to be stressed out just doing that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, Diane. We are implanting in children worry and stress based on the questions. And not that some kids are coming from horrible home situations, you know, parents on drugs, in jail, you know, all kinds of situations. But this is not the way, this tends to add to their stress. And there are several studies that have been done that show that mindfulness does not improve any child, the children that were already mental health challenges, that mindfulness makes it worse. Either has no effect, or kids find it boring, which, you know, and so you don't need to spend our school time on that when they need a reading proficiency, for instance.
Exactly.
But they also, it can do harm.
Yeah, because kids who are already having difficulties, as you said, it's just adds more, that gives them a checklist as to other things they can latch on to, other problems they can latch on to. It's like a hypochondriac, I guess, and they just adds to their list of possible things that are wrong with them. I don't know about over in Ohio, but in Pennsylvania, there's a big, big push, I would assume Ohio too, but there's a big push to add counselors, school counselors to every school. We have 500 school districts, so every school within those school districts would have to have a school counselor.
Right.
Philadelphia actually started this. There was, I think the city of Philadelphia several years ago passed some kind of a ordinance or such that required Philadelphia school district to add hundreds more counselors to their school district. Of course, you know, talking about that's a very, very, probably the largest school district in the Commonwealth. But even back then, it was happening as far as school counselors. Now, one of my concerns is just how well trained are these counselors, and by whom have they been trained, or is it just a ploy for the school to get more money through the government?
Well, what we're seeing is exactly what you're seeing, is that schools are paying existing teachers to go back and get a master's of social work or counseling, MA in counseling. And so, you know, sign me up for, you know, that going back and getting more money and coming back, and then your salary will increase. And then the other thing, of course, you know, when you have somebody in the building whose job it is to analyze children, troubled children, they're going to find things to do.
Yeah.
They have to justify their existence.
Yeah.
So they're going to be looking for many, many more of these health assessments, these check-ins, and all of this goes into a database on that child. If you have a kid that has had these, you know, troubled check-ins, you know, my mom told me this morning to clean my room and I'm really mad at her. So my mother's a terrible mother. Okay. So you come to school with that. I mean, there's worse problems than that, but right. Every child has difficulties right. because life is what it is and parenting is what it is. So to ask children to make assessments all the time, then you document that somewhere, you know, this child could be labeled, the family could be labeled totally inaccurately, but by people who need to justify their position.
Mm-hmm. Justify their paycheck. And it's something I hadn't thought of, but yeah, this information is added to a database, which would follow that child through his or her entire, not only education system, but probably through their entire life.
Yes, these social emotional learning vendors often have access to all that. And we found that in a school system here in Central Ohio, where the teachers and administrators really didn't fully understand. But when it was revealed, yeah, there's all kinds of data, and kids had been labeled these very high functioning, very very stable or not
right
labels, and it's very very sad.
Like, how is that going to impact them? I know that you probably can't answer this fully, but you know, I would think it would impact them in a negative way when they get out of school and, you know, maybe get out of, you know, go to college and graduate. But it's going to follow them through that whole, you know, whole time period there. But then they apply for a job. And I'm assuming future employers would have access to this information too?
Very possibly. I mean, that's the reason people are up in arms about one of the many reasons why people are up in arms about the social emotional learning and the tendency for schools to have all these outside vendors having online access to information about children, and it changes all the time. So even if you do a records request, it's difficult to get a handle on where anything is now, because they'll change it next week.
Yeah.
So this is a huge issue, and it will follow the child and make a difference. And of course, the other issue is the educational establishment's progressive lean. So this does not bode well for the conservative, faith-based family or child in what they will identify, you know, and maybe even maliciously in these records. You know, we got activist teachers and counselors in our schools. Unfortunately, we got a lot of good teachers still, and that's the reason things are holding together in a lot of schools. But we've got some activists, and they will make things up or exaggerate things. And so this gives them the tools to do that.
You know, so much of this, you know, as far as this, the check-in, daily check-in that this Democrat in Philadelphia wants in the bill she's proposed, so much of it is subjective. I mean, a kid may answer a question this way or that way, but again, it's a child answering to begin with. And how that person on the counselor or teacher who's hearing the answer interprets that, in some cases, it is a very subjective interpretation of what the child's actually saying.
And it may be that sometimes they have iPads, you know, that they use all the time in schools, and so it may be a check-in on that. How are you feeling today? Or they are supposed to circle a certain emoji. Well, the emoji may be a sad emoji. Okay, you've got the child who has a sad emoji. Well, it may be that, you know, that there's chronic problems with this child getting himself ready for school. There's, you know, some yelling and screaming that goes on. Yeah. Get yourself out of bed, ready. And this is the way, you know, some kids go through these stages.
To me, the whole time was school's just too early in the day.
Right. And so you may have a whole string of time where the child every day goes to school and he's upset because his parents push him, when really this is just typical parenting and a child going through a typical stage.
Yeah.
But he could have the sad emoji for, you know. So you've got lots of misinformation, you know, possibility of misinformation. The school does not have the right to do this. They need to get away from this idea of educating the whole child. Just do your job. Stick to academics. You know, the parents have the whole child responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God and the Lord.
And God. You're absolutely. Yeah. Scripture is very clear about whose responsibility it is to educate the children, which is not the public school system, or not the school system, period, whether it's public or private. it just, to me, another example of the government trying to control the child's thinking, control the child's, you know, what the child gets. Again, it should be academics, but the school, public schools have lost their way when it comes to academics. That's down on the lower tier of the responsibilities too many schools take. And teachers, unfortunately. But like you said, there are good teachers, and I'm sure that they're extremely frustrated, too, when they see what's happening to their profession.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, not all these motivations are bad by any means. They just, they see these troubled kids, and they want to do something. But the problem is you overstep your bounds, and then you create more problems. Yeah. And a lot of it is people that just don't have a worldview that's anything close to the truth.
Yep.
And so they get off in all these fads. The other thing is people trying to justify themselves in their jobs or climb the ladder. And we know now that progressive politics helps you climb the ladder in the educational establishment.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't trust that either. So that's another element in here. So,
yeah, a lot of scary stuff. And it, to me, it's just government overreach. Also, it's telling the kids that the government has all the answers.
That's right.
Anyway, so we need to keep an eye on mindfulness in schools, mindfulness and social emotional learning, which is everywhere. But it's troubling that, again, our kids are being the guinea pigs, and we need to speak up in defense of our kids and you know, future leaders of this nation. So how can folks contact you?
We're at missionamerica.com. And I am doing a webinar coming up soon on mindfulness. So you can find the information on that at missionamerica.com or get the recording afterward if you miss the date.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I have registered for that. So I'm looking forward to that. So
great.
So go to missionamerica.com and they can register for the webinar.
Right. There's a link to the registration.
Okay, great. Page. Well, you take care, and I appreciate your thoughts on mindfulness and your warnings on mindfulness, because we definitely need to keep an eye on this whole agenda.
Oh. Yes, thank you, Diane, for all you do.
Okay, you
God
take
bless.
Care. Okay, God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.